All right, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out tonight and let's turn to the book of Acts. Get our Bibles out tonight and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 12, and let's stand. That's where we honor the reading of God's Word tonight. Acts chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 5. Be a real simple, practical thing tonight, but I believe it's timely, I believe it's appropriate. Here on a Wednesday night, we call it Wednesday night Bible study because we study the book of the Bible, but we also pray. Some people call their Wednesday night services prayer meeting. I think it's appropriate from time to time to have a passage dealing with prayer and what prayer can do. And as we just went over the prayer list before we get ready to preach here tonight, we realize that we have some things in this church and some people we need to be praying for. But we want to ask ourselves this question tonight. Does my praying really matter? Do I really believe that God will move when He hears my prayer? Well, I do. And I believe when this church prays like it ought to, and when we pray like it ought to, like we ought to as individuals in this church, we'll see some things happen. Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. Acts chapter 12, verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which openeth to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. The title of my message tonight is, Things Happen When the Church Prays. Things happen when the church prays. Brother Ken, would you pray for us? Yes. Yes. Yes, Lord, help me. Amen. Amen, thank you. You may be seated. All right, we're in the 12th chapter of Acts tonight, and if you're familiar with the book of Acts, when you get to this part of Acts and you've been reading the chapters previous to this chapter, you see that the church is going through a great persecution. And James the Apostle has already been killed, and they're hoping Peter's next. And the conditions of the church right now is of great persecution and great distress. There's a lot of pressure on them. And they're in a point where there ain't nothing else left to do but to pray. I tell you, when God gets us in a desperate situation, brother, and there ain't nothing else left to do but to pray, I believe we start getting a hold of God. And it sounds like tonight in prayer requests before this message, there's some people getting in a desperate situation. That's the time we need to cry out with one another to God for help. And you need to cry out as an individual to God for help. But this is a tough time in the life of the church. Now, you see here that Peter's in prison. They've already executed the Apostle James. They want to, Herod sees that makes everybody happy. He wants to get Peter in there and take him out too. But the people of God are praying for Peter. They're praying for him. And they were in a continuous state of prayer. Now, what I just want to do is just make some practical observations and apply it to our life. Just a very simple message tonight. Not a very long message tonight, but just a practical thing. Listen, folks, I believe if God's people and God's church will get back to praying and will get back to crying out to God and to seeking God for help and seeking God to do something in their lives, in the life of people and their families and all the situations we pray for, I believe you see God do something. Just a few things I want to look at and get out of this passage tonight, and that'll be the message. First of all, verse number 7, you see when the church prays, there's an awakening. Peter gets woke up right here. Verse number 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he spoke Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hand. Why did he tell him to rise up? Because the previous verse, verse number 6, said that Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. He was really worried about his captivity, wasn't he? It was really bothering him. He had a soldier on either side, but it wasn't keeping him from sleeping. He was out. He was getting him some Z's. And he's awake. But because the Bible tells us that the church is gathered together and they're doing some praying, Peter gets woke up. And the angel comes and shakes him awake. You know, I don't know if any of you read in about in the 1700s about the Great Awakening, a movement of some of those great preachers then, John Wesley and George Whitefield, some of those folks when God woke some folks up and they were coming out of those dark ages and truth was being spread everywhere and folks were coming to God and learning things about the Lord and getting saved and revival was breaking out. And I tell you what we need in our churches is a great awakening. We need some folks to be woke up. I think what we have in our churches many times, and I'm just going to narrow it down and preach to our church tonight, is we have some folks that the light's on, but nobody's at home. You can dry up and die in a pew every Sunday. Did you know that? I've almost got there before. Anybody else here got like that before? You come to Sunday, you've never missed church, come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, but that don't mean you're alive. That don't mean you're awake to spiritual things at all. And I tell you, well, sometimes our spiritual senses get dull. We just don't feel the presence of God like we once did. We don't have the power of God on our life, and our fellowship with God ain't what it used to be, and we don't have the zeal for God like we once did. And you say, what are we going to do? I want that back. We got to pray. The church has got to pray for it. We've got to yearn for the presence and the power of God in this church. And we as individuals ought to pray for it. We as a church together got to pray for it. And when we pray for it, I believe God will honor that and He'll come by and wake some of us up. One of the things that's never ceased to amaze me is how people sleep during my preaching. And we actually have some, and listen, I know some people, you know, I guess narcolepsy or something, they have some kind of disease or sleeping disease or maybe, you know, Brother Dennis bores me disease. I don't know. I know sometimes you come here tired. But what I can't understand is when the same person comes to church, same service, when the particular person shows up, and I'm not even through my introduction, brother, and it's, and you say, well, what do you think that is? I tell you what that is. That physical sleep back there on that pew represents something going on in that fella's heart. He don't go to sleep, I bet you, in front of the ball game. He don't go to sleep out on the deer woods. He don't go to sleep when he gets his check on Friday. Bless God, He just goes to sleep here at church. Amen. He needs to be woke up. She needs to be woke up. You need to be stirred. And I'm telling you, this church, when the church gets to praying, somebody will get woke up. And we would say we want our church to grow. We want to keep on doing something for God. We want to see our families honor God. We want to see us to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Listen, man, there's people walking around asleep. You wonder sometimes when you preach to these Christians in church, you wonder, man, why don't they change? And why don't they get a hold of this? Why don't they do better? Why don't they sell out? Why don't they get more faithful? And what some preachers would do is they'd just automatically dismiss it and say, well, they're just not saved. If they'd really got saved, they wouldn't be like that. And I know there are some unsaved people in churches, and that's why they don't respond. Absolutely. Every church has them. But a lot of that ain't it. I think there's a lot of saved people in the church. I think there's a lot of saved people in this church. The problem isn't that you're not saved. You're just spiritually asleep right now. And the reason I can preach and preach and pray and cry and squall and flip and flop and hoop and holler and turn red and spit three rows back and it don't touch none of you is you're not awake. You're dead spiritually. You're dead while you're living. And what we need is for God to come by and touch this church and touch some of us and wake us up to spiritual things. And that gets done by prayer. People laboring and sacrificing in prayer. That's why Peter got woke up. Church is praying for him. Number two, things happen when the church prays. There's an awakening. Number two, people get set free. Hallelujah. That's exactly what happened to Peter right there. The chains fell off. He's undone. He's loosed. He leaves prison. He was delivered. Now, I think there's two ways I want to look at this deliverance. First of all, it's just salvation. We've seen a few souls get saved here in the service here lately again, and a few contacts, and you know, we went a while and nobody got saved, and that sort of bothered me. I want to see people get saved, but I'm going to tell you something. You want people to get set free and get saved, and that, in that sense, we're going to have to pray about it. We have to pray for these folks to get saved. Listen, you cannot reason the gospel enough. It's not with words of wisdom. The Holy Spirit of God has to show it to them. He has to draw them. He has to convict them. He has to illuminate them. And we have to pray that God will do that. We have to be serious about praying about folks getting saved, but setting free also for these Christians. How many of you know somebody that you believe with all your heart saved? Maybe they're in this church, but they're in bondage to a sin or some sins. Maybe you are here. And you say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in bondage to that. And I want to get rid of it. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. You know how you do that? Through fasting and prayer. You have to yearn for it. You have to cry out to God for it. You have to sacrifice some food, sacrifice some TV, sacrifice some entertainment to get along with God and to cry out to God and say, God, I want to be set free. He'll set you free. He'll do that. But the church has to pray. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see some folks get woken up. And I'd like to see some folks in this church get set free. How about you? And I really believe if we as a church have come together and pray about this stuff and pray hard, we've started a men's prayer meeting once a month on Saturday night. I was physically unable to come to the last one. I heard it was great. The first one, we've only had a couple of them. The first one was good. I want to encourage the men of this church to get a part of that. That we cry out for our families. We cry out for our children. We cry out for this congregation. That God, we need you. And if you don't show up, nothing's going to get done. So when the church prays, there's an awakening. When the church prays, people will get set free. I tell you this, when the church prays, people will follow the Lord. It'll happen. Verse number 8, the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And verse number 9 says, and he went out. He went out of the prison. He followed them. I'm going to tell you this. The reason people aren't following the Lord, they don't have any fellowship with Him. You say, listen, everybody look up here at me. You say, somebody look at somebody like Brother Steve that's been at it a long time, or Brother Dennis, the preacher, and they'll say, you know what? Well, it just seems so easy. You know, they don't want to go do this or do that, and they look like they like to live godly and all. Let me tell you something. Me and Brother Steve got the same flesh everybody else in here's got. We got it. And you say, what's the difference with that fella following the Lord? And I'm, boy, I'd like to have a walk like that. And I like, you can. Everybody look up here at me. You can. Me and Brother Steve don't have them, or Brother Ken or any other preacher or LaVon or anybody else have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. Anybody in here can have a great walk with the Lord. Anybody in here can fellowship with the Lord. Anybody in here can experience victory in their life. Anybody in here can be on the high ground. Anybody can. But you're not going to follow God if you don't have a good prayer life where you talk to Him and you listen to Him to talk to you and He fills your soul. Sometimes I preach this and I get blank stares. People don't even know what I'm talking about. Just today and yesterday, I had a couple of prayer times in my home. It got so thick in there. I went around half the day. I ran around half the day. If you would have just looked at me wrong, I'd cried. I just had a weepy spirit over me. It wasn't depression. It wasn't anxiety. It was just a sweet, sweet spirit of the Lord. I go out there on that porch and I cry out to Him and I talk to Him. And when I'm in the bed, I can't sleep at night. And my wife, she don't never have no trouble sleeping. Maybe that's why she's in such good health. I'm sitting over there praying and crying out to the Lord and having a good fellowship with Him at 2:30 in the morning on my porch in the afternoon, in the day, driving down the road, shouting and carrying on like something crazy. When you pray and you have fellowship with God, He'll put that, not only will He give you that power, but He puts that desire in you to want to follow Him. Folks, you're going to have to spend time with God. There ain't no shortcut. And you, listen, you want to know what happens when the church prays? You want to know what happens when the church prays? I mean, when this church will really get burdened, I mean, really get tore up about seeking God, we'll hear more shouts. People enjoy it. They won't be going to sleep during the introduction. You'll be sitting on the edge of your pew. You'll be up here praying for folks. If you can't get up here, you'll be back there praying for them. Won't nobody have to twist your arm and try to explain to you why you need to be trying to pray for souls and win souls to the Lord. We need to pray about that stuff. A few more. This is maybe my favorite point of it, of the story. What will happen when the church prays? Well, I don't know exactly what will happen, but my next point is you won't believe what God will do. He'll do something you won't even believe, just like this girl didn't. If you read that there in verse 11, it says, when Peter come to himself, he says, I know of a surety that the Lord has sent His angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. And he considered a thing, it says in verse 12, and came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. What does it say there, church? Where many were gathered together praying. Do you realize that there was a bunch of folks gathered there in that house praying? And they were praying for Peter. And while they're praying, God is moving in that jail. I mean, it's a great escape. Alcatraz couldn't hold you when God gets a hold of it, brother. I mean, it's a big jailbreak there. And while they're there praying, He's answered their prayer. But when He answers their prayer, notice what happened. Verse number 13, Peter knocked at the door of the gate, Rhoda hearkened to him, and when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told Peter, and she didn't even open the gate. She said, it's Peter, you know, ran in there and told him that he's out. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Let me back up and see if I understand this. They're all gathered together. The Bible says there's many of them, and they're praying for Peter, and they're praying for him to get out of prison, and a knock at the door, and it's Peter. And then when the girl says, it's Peter, he's out. They go, you're crazy. You've lost your ever-loving mind. That's like coming to church and praying for rain and you don't bring your umbrella. They're gathered in there praying for the man to get out, and he gets out, and then they don't believe it. You know, there ain't no telling what God may do. You won't even believe what He might do. You won't believe what He might do for me if you pray for me. You won't believe what He might do for these lost people that we've been praying for, who He might save, the sick people God may choose to heal, people in the church. You don't believe what He might do. He might really do something great. Some of you sitting here and you say, boy, I got old so-and-so in my family and I just won't believe there's no hope for them. Boy, this thing right here that I've been praying about, it's just such a big thing. I don't think nothing's ever going to come of that. And I just don't know how we're going to do this. And this thing right here, this is just humanly impossible. Yes, it is. But with God, all things are possible. There's no telling what God may do if this church really got a hold of praying. Hey, look, folks. Look how good and gracious God has been to us. We ain't prayed much at all. I mean, let's just get real and honest tonight. This church ain't put forth much of an effort. We ain't hurt our bellies fasting. We ain't got camel knees, as they said about old James, on our knees praying to the Lord and hurting our back. We ain't spent hours and hours for days and weeks and months praying. And look how good God's already been to us. Hey folks, imagine what God might do in this church. Just imagine what God might do in your family. Just imagine what God might do in your heart if we just really sought Him. I mean, really cried out to Him. Really prayed. Like that old hymn, I would not be denied. I'm not going to quit praying. God, do you hear me? We wouldn't believe what He'd do. And I'll tell you this, there would be some evidence of it too. This is my last point. What would happen if the church prays? A stir will be made. Things will get stirred up again. Notice what it says in verse number 18. It says, now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. Man, it was buzzing. Where's he at? Where'd he go? I don't know. You was on one side of him. I was on the other side of him. He's gone. They were all buzzing. We got to find this man. We had him and he's gone. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's looking for him. You know why? Because of God's people praying. I don't know about you, but I'd like to stir up this community a little bit, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see this church get a little stirred up? Wouldn't you like to get stirred up again? Wouldn't you like to see your family get stirred up? Wouldn't you like to see your marriage get stirred up for God? I mean, wouldn't you like to see it like I've seen it before in churches and in services? When you come here and walk through the door, you just know God's going to do something that day. Not because we deserve it. Not because we've earned it. Not because we've lived right enough. That's impossible. But because we poured our hearts out to God and begged Him to show up. And beg them to be in this service. And beg them to do something in our life. That's why we know He's going to show up. That's why we know He's going to be here. That's why we know He's going to do something. A stir will be made. People will get stirred up. Things will start happening. This town needs some stirring up. This church needs some stirring up. You need some stirring up. Those are things that happen when the church prays. The question is the church going to pray? I talked about that a while ago, and God obviously has done great things in this church. He saved people. He's helped people. We got folks reading their Bible that have never read their Bible. We got folks passing out tracts and people coming faithful. They're learning stuff. Their prayer life's increasing. They're trying to do right. I know that. And I see God moving. But, you know, we've sort of got to a spiritual level. And I just think, you know, I believe I said this back when I was preaching the series on the Why Churches Die. And I think I made a comment about the churches that pray together, stay together. And I said this, that what I believe has happened in this church is just God was merciful and gracious to us, and He saw some people that wanted to make an effort. He saw some people that would like to see God move, and there was just a small handful, and it grew and grew and grew, and God's given us a good church here. But I think we got to a point now where God said, all right, now, I've been mighty good to you, and He has. I've given you a building. I've given you the money to pay it off. I've given you nice facilities. I've given you plenty of families. I've done great things for you. And you didn't do much to get it. You just was recipients of my grace. Now, if you want to go to the next level and see what I can and will do through you that He hasn't even touched in this church yet, then you're going to have to show me you want it. You're going to have to show me it means something to you. You're going to have to show me that you mean business. Pleasant Grove, you're going to have to show God that it's willing, that it's worth the time and the effort that it takes to cry out to Him and to seek Him and to pray. And I'm going to say this, I'm getting ready to close tonight. We can't afford not to pray. I mean, did you hear those prayer requests we had tonight, all of them before we got into Bible study tonight? Some of you here, you're in pretty bad need, aren't you? Some of you here, you got some things going on that's very unsettling. You don't know what's going to happen. It could get bad. You can't afford not to pray. You can't afford to dismiss this message and go home and just plop on the couch and turn the TV on and forget everything. I think that this is an encouragement and a comfort tonight that God's given me this message for you, but I think it's also an admonition. I had planned to preach this tonight. I didn't know what all these prayers were. My goodness, man, I had no idea people were going to come in with these needs and all tonight. You know what I believe the message is for us tonight? And I thank God that He's given us a message. He didn't have to. I think the message is tonight is, okay, you do have some tough things going on. You do have some trials. You do have some concerns. What are you going to do? He wants you to cry out to Him and let Him show you great, wonderful things, if you will. And I don't believe this church spiritually is going one step. I honestly don't believe this church spiritually will go one step further until we get serious about prayer. But hallelujah, if we get serious about prayer, there's some things going to happen. Every head bowed and eye closed, and